Let us bring in Dr. Judy Wortman. It is time for Food for Mood. Judy is a co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, and also Simon Loses His Tummy. Good morning, Dr. Wortman.
Good morning to you both. And isn't it nice to know that ski slopes will be closed because it will be replaced by daffodils or...
The mud is a definitely happening thing here, except that at Marshall's house and separately at my house, there's still a fair bit of snow crust.
Actually, the ski slopes are replaced by forsythia around here.
That's even better. It lasts longer.
Right. It's yellow. All right. Eating late.
Yes,
your best revenge.
I first have to ask, are you breakfast eaters? And... have you ever gone through periods of time when you have deliberately made yourself eat breakfast so that you would eat less later on during the day, and might it have worked?
I'm a grazer, so once I start eating, I eat until I stop. I'm not a helpful person to answer this.
Okay. All righty. Well, okay. Let me put out what is known, and then, like I said, it really is open to discussion. I think forever people have been saying, don't eat late at night. You know, once you have dinner, the kitchen is closed, don't go have a snack after dinner, because if you do, you're going to wake up in the morning, you know, at least 5 pounds heavier. You should never eat a meal late at night. You should finish your dinner at 7 o'clock. And, you know, it sounds as if it might be effective advice, but somebody actually tested this. Some researchers were looking at the timing of meals and whether people actually ate the meals or skipped the meals among just thousands of a particular religious group, the Seventh-day Adventists, in America and also in Canada. And what they did was look at food records and the weight of the participants in the study to see whether there was any relationship between whether you were a breakfast eater or a skipper, whether you ate lunch or not, and what time you ate dinner, and whether you ate a really big meal for dinner, whether you ate something very light. And what they found, and they did this study with just thousands of people, the people who ate breakfast as their main meal of the day, and then a lighter meal, but still pretty substantial at lunch, and had a very light meal for dinner, maybe just soup or yogurt or salad, they were actually the thinnest of the group of the people they studied. And people who habitually skipped breakfast and perhaps ate a very light lunch, but ate most of their food, you know, in the evening, dinner, and probably afterward also, they tend to be the heaviest. And so they came to the conclusion that if you ate breakfast, it really would be a very potent way of preventing yourself from gaining weight, maintaining your weight loss, and maybe even losing weight. So that study was one that looked at food records and people's weight, but they didn't really do a hands-on study. But other people have, and, you know, typically dieters would be divided into two groups. One group would be told, you know, eat normally, but just eat so many calories a day, let's say 1,800 calories a day. And the other group would be told, okay, you also are eating 1,800 calories a day, but most of the calories, oh, just let's say 800 or so, you have to eat at breakfast, and then as the day goes on, you eat less. So both groups ate the same calories per day, presumably. But the people who ate most of their calories at breakfast time lost, again, significantly more weight than those who lost in the evening, who ate their main meal of the evening. So their conclusion was also, well, if you eat breakfast, your main meal, make breakfast perhaps your main meal of the day, you really have sort of an additional help in getting yourself to lose weight than if you eat your main meal in the evening. But my question is, in looking at all this, is, well, what about people who live in countries where habitually they start their dinner at a time most of us are watching late night television?
Or the news. The news at 10. BBC
exactly,
News at
11
10.
O'clock at right. night. I mean, if you go to Spain and you go into a restaurant,
you're not getting fed.
Late at 10:30, they'll say, oh, really, you're not going to start eating, serving dinner until 11.
Yeah, I've always, and again, when I said I'm not a good person to ask, there's a reason. I am always skeptical of trying to cross-culturalize on this. Here's what I do know. Most people should put something in their body at the beginning of the day. And it
right.
should be helpful as opposed to a in my view, a 5-hour energy drink or something that is
just a cup of coffee, sure.
Yeah, that's just not because otherwise your body isn't going to quite know what to do. That's all.
No, you're right. But one would expect that based on these other studies that people in Spain and Argentina, which is another place traditionally eating extremely late, would be much fatter than people in the United States. But, of course, we always win the obesity war, no matter who is challenging us on this.
Although I will say, and this was just a shock to me, just in terms of fairly big, there were a lot of... there have been a lot of Brexit interviews of just various random people,
sure,
just in random pubs in random places. And I was surprised to see how not petite some people have become. And I tend to ascribe that to just some horrible, I mean, not just meds, but some poorly understood habits. That we've been really, pretty lousy at teaching our kids. I don't know. I really don't know what happened. And I'm sorry to sound like an old lady
here. In fact, there's something called the World Health Organization that's looked at obesity around the world, and they've come to the same conclusion you have, Jill, that obesity is rising in countries which were, sort of traditionally thin, sort of thin and fit. And that is true in Spain and true in Argentina as well as in England or, India. But the reasons that are given for studies that have shown this is not that, hey, you're eating all your calories at 11, between 11 o'clock and 9 and 1 a.m. in the morning, but because you're basically doing the same thing we in this country are doing. You're eating too large portions, you're eating too many snacks, you're sitting too much, your kids are watching too much television, you don't go out and play, you don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. You don't have to, raise the specter of what time you're eating. It's really what you're eating. And people have changed their food choices. They no longer may have a home-cooked meal, but are, as you say, grazing or picking up takeout food, which is very, very high in fat. But I don't know. The thing about this, Jill, occurred to me that maybe one of the reasons people who eat their main meal in the evening might be heavier is not because of the time of the meal, but if you don't eat breakfast, and I agree with you that you really should have something in the morning, and you have a tiny amount of food for lunch because you really don't have time, your body is starving by the late afternoon, and you may be eating the calories of dinner while you're preparing dinner. So in a sense, you have two dinners. You're in the kitchen, and you're nibbling away while you're making dinner, or you go to a restaurant before you go, you have something to eat in case you have to wait before you're served. Or you're so hungry that you overestimate how much your body really needs to eat, and you order too much food because you're starved. Your head is bigger than your stomach. And then you eat dinner, but you think, I didn't really have lunch. I didn't have anything for breakfast. So I can have some ice cream and some cookies and maybe some leftover cake because I really skipped those meals earlier in the day. You may end up eating much more food in the evening than you would have had you had the three meals.
Right. And I we're going to run out of time, but I just think that this is a place for some really basic education. And, that would be as welcome as rain or a water salesman in a desert, basically.
Yes, and not these crazy diets.
When you look at some of the kids, in their early 20s, I just, they're physically emaciated in a way. I've complained about this for years. In a way that they might think is attractive, but is a really bad example for their, if they are going to have kids. It's a terrible example.
Yes. The nutritional sins of the parents are being passed on to their children.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Jill, we're trying.
Right. Yes, that's all we can do. So long short, eat breakfast.
Bye.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.
And you can hear Judy, of course, Monday through Friday. God, I don't know if we can put up with that. You can hear her on Thursday mornings.
And Saturday morning.
And Saturday mornings here on Robin.
That's all. You don't have to listen.